Today's scripture reading comes from Philippians. Rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I will say, rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Jesus Christ. Finally, brothers and sisters, whatever is true, whatever is honorable, whatever is just, whatever is pure, whatever is pleasing, whatever is commendable, if there is any excellence and if there is anything worthy of praise, think about these things. As for the things that you have learned and received and heard and noticed in me, do them, and the God of peace will be with you. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Ben. Thank you, Bells. And thank you for our prayers and to say music. It already just kind of has brought our anxiety down a little bit, right? Just to kind of settle in to this space. Friends, I wonder if perhaps in a world like ours, flooded with alerts, crises, and demands, have you ever thought it would be nice to just not care? To just kind of let it all roll over you and not worry about any of it? Anybody ever thought that might just be an option? It does sound tempting. It sounds like a form of self-protection. But I know you all, and I know that that option is not possible, or you wouldn't even be here today. You are deeply caring and faithful and considerate people. But there has to be some other way than living in the heightened state of anxiety and chronic tension that seems to flood our world. And fortunately, the Christian tradition offers something far more beautiful and fulfilling than numbness, a practice called holy indifference. Holy indifference is the freedom to be so released from control, from clinging and fear, that our hearts are actually more available to love fully, wisely, and generously. This is the kind of freedom that we glimpse in Philippians 4 when Paul writes from prison under Roman imperial power. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. He does not say, rejoice because it's all fine. He rejoices because God is near. And that nearness changes how he meets whatever comes. As a follower of Christ, Paul has discovered a way of being deeply human, honest about suffering, committed to others, without being consumed by anxiety. The Ignatian tradition puts a name and shape to this inner stance. St. Ignatius of Loyola, in his writing Spiritual Exercises, taught that real freedom is not getting our way, but being so rooted in God's love that we can hold everything else, health or sickness, success or failure, security or risk, with open hands. Ignatian indifference is not apathy, but it is the grace to release all that does not help us love God and neighbor, and to give ourselves wholeheartedly to whatever does. So we might say that Paul was modeling this holy indifference, the paradox of caring deeply and yet letting go. The times we live in keep us on edge, with our nervous systems on constant alert. And here in Minnesota, that anxiety isn't just on the screens, it's on our streets, as we worship under the ongoing shadow of a federal occupation of our city. Even with a bit of reprieve this week, over 2,000 federal agents remain in our communities, and our neighbors are texting before they leave home, deciding which route feels safest if they leave home at all. The ache is not abstract. So when we hear Paul say, "Do not worry about anything," we have to be honest. It can sound impossible, maybe even heartless. But keep in mind, Paul is not writing a postcard from a tropical beach, right? Paul is writing himself from prison. And he is writing to a small, early, fledgling Christian community living under Roman military control, where for them, saying Jesus is Lord quietly challenged Caesar is Lord, which was the predominant view of those in that their community. And that faithfulness made daily life risky. So Paul knows what it is to be watched, threatened, and powerless over outcomes. Like Jesus' words, "Do not worry," Paul's words are not meant to shame our anxiety, but to show us a different way to carry it. Holy indifference in our context cannot mean shrugging at deportations, raids, or racialized targeting. It cannot mean numbing ourselves to our neighbors' fears. It cannot mean standing by as racism persists in this country. Holy indifference means that the administration or ICE or DHS does not get to be lord of our nervous systems. They do not get to have the final say over our hope, our solidarity, our imagination. We stay tender. We stay brave. We keep showing up. Here in Philippians, Paul offers a simple, embodied path toward this kind of peace, one that speaks not only to our souls, but also to our bodies. Rejoice. Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Notice here how the movement unfolds. First, rejoice. Rejoice, find a reason to delight in what is good, even if life is hard. Second, gentleness. Soften your posture towards others and toward yourself. Third, prayer and gratitude. Practice releasing control through words and thanksgiving. And fourth, peace that guards. The promise is not control, but presence that steadies. Reorienting our nervous systems through prayer, gentleness, rejoicing, and thanksgiving gives our bodies some place to turn besides panic or numbness. So therefore, holy indifference is a form of spiritual wellness for our nervous systems. It is not refusing to feel. It is learning how to hand each spike of fear, each wave of dread back into God's hands so that fear is not the only voice shaping us. Ignatius would say that indifference is the inner freedom that lets us ask, does this help me praise, revere, and serve God by loving my neighbor? Or does it only feed my fear or my ego? When we have even a little of that freedom, we can be engaged without being enmeshed, connected without being consumed. Writer Kate Bowler uses a phrase that fits our moment. She speaks of living with the ache. She describes the persistent ache that we carry, the ongoing drip of bad news, the layered losses, the everyday worries for our loved ones, the ache of wanting to fix everything and discovering we can't. Bowler says that blessings sometimes come disguised as our limitations, our inability to make life behave. When we finally admit that we cannot save everyone, cannot stop every harm, cannot guarantee safety for those we love, something in us loosens. We are no longer gods who have failed. We are humans who can be tender. To me, that sounds a lot like holy indifference. When we release the illusion of control, we discover we are held in something larger, grace. The ache may not go away, but it can be companioned with peace. Holy indifference doesn't say, this doesn't matter. It says, this matters so much that I refuse to carry it alone. Like the kids with the heavy bag, right? Here in this church, if you feel right now overwhelmed or exhausted or on edge, friends, you are not failing at faith. You are paying attention. Holy indifference asks, can I hand this moment, this terror, this uncertainty back into God's hands so that I can keep loving, keep protecting, keep organizing, keep showing up for my neighbor, keep loving my family without burning up? We have to keep in mind that we are not the first community to be asked to live this kind of holy indifference in the face of cruelty and fear. For this has been the lived experience of Black and Brown people in this country that was founded on stolen land and stolen labor. This has been the daily spiritual work of Black people from slavery to Jim Crow to now, while holding on to their God-given identity. Enslaved people, freedom fighters, parents, and children learn to survive and resist without letting the slaveholder or the lynch mob or the sheriff tell them who they were. That is holy indifference. They did not stop caring. They refused to let white supremacy own their souls. And again, in the civil rights movement, that same holy indifference became a fierce, disciplined, non-anxious, non-violent presence in the face of fire hoses, jail cells, bombs, and daily humiliation. Through prayer and song and non-violence and organizing and marching, they rejected the lie that hatred had the final word. We need that courage now. When even the highest leader of this land perpetuates racist tropes again and again and again this week, casually circulating racist memes that demean black people and mock the first African American president and first lady of this country. We name that as sin. And yet, in Christ, we are called not to numbness or despair, but to a deeper rooting in love and truth. Holy Indifference says, we will not give up, we will not give in, and we will not stand by. Together, we are responsible for saying no to the lies of this administration and yes to the truth of our neighbors. We must stand for the God-given worth of all people in this country, in all people in this world, keeping the faith and keeping our eyes on the prize, as the late Senator John Lewis urged, not just for ourselves, but for one another. Just yesterday, many Hamlin Church folks were present for another example of holy indifference at the Whipple Building, where Indigenous leaders gathered and invited others to stand with them to declare that no one is illegal on stolen land. Yesterday, people of many faiths came to pray, honor, and defend the humanity of all people, particularly of those who are currently detained. We hoped and prayed that through our songs, our dancing, our marching, our prayer ribbons, that perhaps that message of solidarity could get to those who were locked inside. And together we told the truth about this land, about its theft by the federal government, about the harm perpetuated in that very same space when it served as a concentration camp for Dakota people in the winter of 1863. Ongoing harm done in the name of law and order that continues today. And there we listened as Indigenous wisdom keepers called us back to a different way of walking on this earth. One prayer shared from the journals of great-grandmother Mary Lyon said, "Listen. Listen to your breath. Sort through what is important and heed the warnings. We must continuously be reminded that hurt people hurt people. And we must bring prayer of goodwill to them so our spirits will not be broken. We must not mirror our behaviors to be liked. Hold your spiritual space. Lead with love, courage, bravery, truth, wisdom, and most importantly, love. In a world of rage and retaliation, that is holy indifference. Refusing to mirror the violence of those who harm. Refusing to let hate colonize our spirits. And choosing instead to stand in truth, to protect the vulnerable, and to lead with love. Friends, when even just a few people practice holy indifference, the whole community begins to shift. Instead of escalating conflict, there is space for listening. Instead of clinging to control, there is room for trust. And instead of pretending that everything's fine, there is courage to be real. This is what Paul envisioned when he told the Philippians, "Let your gentleness be known to everyone. The Lord is near." Gentleness here does not mean weakness. It means steadiness of soul, a calm that blesses others. Churches that cultivate this kind of gentleness become safe spaces where people can exhale, cry, be angry, and still know that they are held. Where living with the ache is not something that you do alone, but something we carry together. Imagine if our congregation were known in the city for being a place where people whose bodies have been on high alert could rest for an hour. A place where our neighbors can bring their aches, the bad news, the layered losses, their day-to-day worries and concerns, and find that they are not too much and that they are not alone. A place where a non-anxious presence is itself a form of resistance. You do not own our joy. You do not own our hope. You do not own our love for one another. Learning holy indifference takes practice. It takes not a one-time enlightenment, but a daily rhythm of release. So I want to invite you to try something simple with me now. If it's comfortable for you, place your hands in your lap. Hold them there for a moment and notice if they are clenched. Picture what you are carrying today. The news, the occupation, the people you love, the things you cannot fix. Hold them. And now, gently open your hands. Feel what it is like in your body to loosen your grip. This is the posture of holy indifference. Not dropping what matters, but holding it in God's presence instead of clutching it alone. We might start the day with a prayer as our hands open. God, I release what I cannot control, and I receive your peace. When anxiety surges again a couple hours or minutes even later, we open our hands again. Over time, those small releases retrain the heart. Open hands cannot grip as tightly to fear. Open hands are freer to receive grace, to share what we have, to live with the ache without being swallowed by it. The final word in Paul's teaching is not detachment, but joy. Rejoice in the Lord always. Joy is the fruit of holy indifference, because once we stop trying to control everything, we make room for gratitude. Paul urges us to dwell on whatever is true, honorable, just, pure, pleasing, commendable. Anxiety loops on what might be going wrong. Peace attends to what is good and life-giving. Focusing our minds in this way does not erase the circumstances around us, but it keeps those circumstances from stealing our souls. And for us, as followers of Jesus, holy indifference is not an abstract ideal. It is a way of clinging to Christ himself, the one who knew the ache of this world, who trusted God in the face of betrayal, violence, and death, and yet kept loving. As the choir prepares to sing, "Give Me Jesus," we are invited to make that our prayer. Not give me control, not give me guarantees, but give me Jesus, the presence, the courage, and the peace that meets us right in the ache and will not let us go. Thanks be to God. Amen.